This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening and welcome to Well. Tex and Jill with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Jill, my dear, how are you?
Tex. It's another show with you. I'm loving it. What's not to love?
Indeed.
I'm well. I'm very, very, very well indeed.
But Jill, are you okay?
I am okay.
That's good.
Very, very okay. Are you
super.
Okay?
I'm okay as well.
Are we going to talk about why we're asking each other if we're okay?
No, we'll talk about that later.
Lovely. Tex, what I want to know is what's on the show tonight?
Well, tonight, another exciting show lined up. We're going to be talking with Susie Malhotra from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. Susie is no stranger to the Well studio. So we'll be chatting about what's happening, hip-hop and happening in People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. And later on, we're going to have some snippets of events happening around town. And pretty soon, Jill, we are going to have a little snippet of news.
We are.
Jill, though,
yeah.
I have something to ask you, to say to you.
Go on.
To share with you, perhaps.
Sure.
Now, Jill, we love to hear from our listener.
We do.
I believe there are two ways they can get in contact with us tonight. What the heck are they?
Well, let me share with you and the listener what those two options are.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us on air at joy.org.au and we get that in the studio real time. Or you can send an SMS to 0427JOY949. That's 0427 569 949.
Indeed. So we look forward to hearing from you, perhaps with a few suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show, or perhaps you've got a question for Susie from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. Whatever, send those messages zooming in. Right now you're listening to Well here on Joy 94.9.
G'day guys, Kylie Minogue's television brother here, Craig McLaughlin. You're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. That was my best radio voice.
Well, thank you, Craig. It was a lovely radio voice.
I love it. I love it.
Now, this is the part of the show where we do a news story, so we usually shuffle the papers so that you know we're doing a news story.
Very, very newsy sounding.
Indeed, isn't it? Now, Jill, quite a while ago, maybe a few months ago, we were talking about a challenge to the blood band. The blood ban here in Victoria. Although I think it might have been the blood ban in Tasmania. Anyway, it was the blood ban that the Red Cross instituted about 700 years ago when HIV first reared its head. Realistically, about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And this was to say that men who have sex with men, gay and bisexual men, same-sex attracted men, whatever label you want to use, are ineligible to donate blood into the blood supply because of the nasty things that gay men do with each other. That's paraphrasing, of course.
Yes.
And great story has come out of the UK this week. And that is to say that the UK government have decided to lift the blood ban on men who have sex with men. And this is a recommendation on the Advisory Committee on the Safety of Blood, Tissues and Organs. Great organisation. organisation name. So the recommendation is that men who have had sexual contact with another man who've had no sexual contact with another man in over 12 months will be able to donate blood, providing they meet selection criteria for other groups who are deferred from giving blood for 12 months. And what they're saying is that if you haven't had sex for 12 months, you can donate blood now if you're a gay man. However, if you have had sex, even if it's with a condom, it doesn't matter. You still have to wait before you can give blood. So men who have had anal or oral sex with another man in the past 12 months, with or without a condom, will be not eligible to donate blood. This recommendation has been accepted by health ministers in England, Scotland and Wales, and it's going to be implemented in early November, I think the 7th of November. The interesting thing is, though, the health ministers in Ireland have yet to agree with this recommendation, and at the moment they're talking about how they are going to work towards lifting the ban in Ireland so that it will cover all of what we call the United Kingdom.
Yep. I mean, there's a few things, parts of this story text that I find interesting. I can understand, obviously, the issues around anal sex.
Yep.
But oral sex? That does strike me that they've actually included that in this sort of criteria. And also, isn't there a little bit of a degree of, well, a little bit, there's a major component of trust that's going on here. So what is the course of action for somebody, you know, that what happens if you do lie?
Indeed. Someone walks into a blood bank anywhere.
Exactly.
And when it comes to the section, have you had sex with another man in the last 12 months? If you tick no or just leave it blank, you could continue, you could give blood. And there would be no questions, I imagine. You know, I mean, it's not as if people look gay.
No.
I mean, I know there are a few people out there who look gay, if you like, as in a stereotype of what gay is. But I don't necessarily think that I ooze the look of gay. I think I look pretty average.
I think you look gorgeous.
Oh.
That's just me.
That's just you, Jill.
But no, I know what you mean. I think it's a fairly kind of... but then I suppose the other argument of that is, well, is before this ban was going to be lifted, there was nothing to stop somebody from not claiming that they were a gay man. So, and not being honest about that either. So, you know, it's a curly one.
And it's an odd thing because we know they screen the blood. So they screen the blood anyway for different sexually transmitted infections.
Yeah, not just HIV.
Not just HIV. And, of course, anybody, we'll just, I don't want to lump people together, but say people in the heterosexual community who may engage in anal sex but not want to discuss it, may well engage in oral sex, again, may not want to discuss it too much, but consider it a normal part of life or a normal part of their sexual activity. I mean, it's quite interesting. The European Union, which is this UK law will now bring the UK in line with the European Union, the European Commissioner for Health and Consumer Policy said that sexual behaviour is not identical with sexual orientation when he was talking about why they have decided to lift the ban. So, I mean, it's still a ban if you've engaged in sex. If a man has sex with another man, has engaged in sex, you know, they theoretically they have to wait for 12 months before they go along and donate blood. But, you know, as we've discussed, interesting that people, if you like, can just neglect to tick a box.
Yeah.
Or instead of ticking, yes, I've had sex with another man, can tick no.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah, exactly, Tex. I think it's a move forward, which I think is fantastic. And that's what I always sort of think is important to keep in mind with any sort of change that's heading in the right direction is I don't think anyone can expect amazing advances overnight. You know, these things do. There's a process.
Yep.
And that this is part of a process of hopefully not needing this. I don't know. I mean, I obviously understand that. And every article that I've read on this, on lifting this ban, is the primary focus is maintaining the integrity and the health of any blood that's donated.
Yep.
And obviously that has to be first and foremost in whatever activity's taken place. Yeah, it's a good thing, but it's an interesting thing. That's how I'm going to end that one.
Thank you, Jill. And if you'd like to learn more about this issue or any issue about HIV, one of the sites we recommend people go to is AIDS Map. So AIDSMAP, or one word, AIDSMAP.com. They have an amazing array of information about HIV, not just in the UK, not just in the United States of America, not just here in Australia, but information from all around the world. So it's a pretty impressive site. And I must admit, we do get a lot of these stories that we cover here on 94.9 from AIDSMAP.com.
Yep. Absolutely, Tex.
Now, very soon we're going to be joined by our very special guest. This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. And joining Jill and I this evening, as I said earlier at the start of the show, is someone who's no stranger to Well, Well, Well. Good evening, Susie Malhotra from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria.
Good evening, Tex. Hello, Jill.
What a great radio voice you have, Susie.
Shame it's not my real voice.
Now, Susie, before we chat about recent developments in people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria and about the different up-and-coming events, perhaps we can chat just a little bit about your organisation. What can you tell us about people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria as an organisation? How long has it been around and who do you serve?
Okay, we'll break that up into lots of short questions, I think. Well, people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria is about 23 years old. We're the peak body in Victoria that provides support, education, representation to all Victorians living with HIV in Victoria. It's funny, I've just said Victorians and Victoria. We provide a whole range of services, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with them. Basically, all our programs are developed to enhance the well-being of people living with HIV. So that could mean anything from education events that can address issues around maintaining treatments, looking after your mental well-being, to more sort of specific things like running quit programs for people who want to stop smoking, because we all know that smoking is one of the cofactors that sort of can compromise a quality of your life. And certainly sort of when you've got HIV thrown into the equation, it can be, it's quite a challenge to manage that. One of the other things that we do, we also have the Positive Speakers Bureau, which is one of our champion programs that sort of trains people with HIV to go out into the community and talk about the issues of HIV and challenge all the notions and stereotypes around what living with HIV is.
So you're a bit busy.
Kind of.
Now, Susie, we bang on about your new location almost every week here on Well, Well, Well. But for our listener, where are you located and who have you co-located with?
Okay, I think the phrase about banging on about our location is a bit of building envy, I think.
Just a little.
You may well be right.
We're in South Bank on Coventry Street. This has been something that we've been wanting to do for many years. It's taken 6 years in the making. And it was looking at the concept of strengthening positive voices in Victoria. The idea that HIV organisations come under one roof to provide a centre of excellence and good quality services to all people with HIV. Yes, we have co-located. We've co-located with Straight Arrows, who were formerly based at the Alfred Hospital in the little annex out the back. It's been fantastic having two organisations under one roof when you can share programming, you can share ideas, and those little corridor conversations where you just brainstorm a whole range of better ways of collaboration and participating in each other's work.
Now, Susie, we're going to find out about all different sorts of aspects of the different work that you do, but I don't think we've covered this with you before, but I'm interested in why you, Susie, chose health promotion as a career, and why with people living with HIV/AIDS Victoria?
You know, I'm probably going to be one of those old chestnuts who say I actually got into HIV over 15 years ago just out of a response to improving and enhancing the visibility of people with HIV in the community. I had lots of friends who unfortunately were affected by HIV. Many of them died, you know, during the earlier days of the epidemic, and I think I got quite angry about the fact that there were so many misconceptions about what somebody with HIV was about, or, you know, what their daily life entailed. I started off in England. Maybe you can guess by my accent.
Yeah.
I started off as a volunteer within an HIV organisation in the UK, the Terence Higgins Trust. And I provided in-home support to buddies, we were called, in-home support to people who were socially isolated or just couldn't engage fully in the community in their social lives. My first job was working as an administrator for an organisation that provided services to African and Indian communities affected by HIV. And the epidemic at the time was very different in the UK, and I suppose it still is in comparison to Australia. But it was just a really meaningful way to put my money where my mouth was and said, look, I want to do something about this.
Mm. Now, Susie, I know you can hang around. We have a gorgeous piece of music, and this is from a new CD that I've bought called Classical Beatles. I'm going to tell you who's singing it when we get back, but this is a song called Help. You're on Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
Help! I need somebody, help! Not just anybody, help! You know I need someone.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you didn't recognise it, that was Help by the Beatles, but this time sung by the King's Singers. And this is from a CD called Classical Beatles. It's a 2-CD set.
It really was quite startling, Jax, yeah. I have to say. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, darling. Now, if you've just joined us, we're here with Susie from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. And Susie, we often mention your magazine, the magazine of People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, which is called PosLink. The latest edition is available now and it's people can get it in hard copy. They can also get it online. But what are some of the topics that are covered in this current issue?
PosLink is a magazine that comes out 6 times a year. We try to put it together from a lot of contributions from the sector, from individuals, from our members, and a lot of it's written by our very competent staff as well. Amongst a whole range of issues that we tend to cover in each of PosLinks, we do issues around treatment updates, any new news items. I suppose the stuff around the blood ban is quite salient, mm-hmm. and you know that's certainly something that we're going to be covering in a future edition. But for the one that's out at the moment, on the streets, as it were, we've got a fantastic interview with Marg Hayes from the Catholic AIDS Ministry. We feature a piece on rapid HIV testing. And always we try to put some personal stories from our members. So we may get one of the Speakers Bureau talking about one of the talks they've recently given, or just talking about their experience of going on the road for the first time to talk to schools and colleges and other organisations. And that can be quite a challenge, but a very interesting story to put. We always have a whole little section of recipes, things to do when you're on a budget or you can't be bothered to cook, or you're sitting at home on your own and thinking, oh, you know, I just want to make something small and tasty and nutritious for myself. So we've always got recipes like that in there. And we usually have things like a book review and so on.
And Susie, it's a really interesting read because, there's a message from the president which talks about an issue which is, you know, and hip-hop and happening at the time.
Yes.
But it was wonderful particularly to read about the Catholic AIDS Ministry and Marg Hayes, because I see Marg Hayes once a year, generally, at the AIDS Memorial on World AIDS Day when she leads part of the memorial. But she's a fascinating woman who's worked an incredible amount of time in HIV.
Absolutely. She's omnipresent in the best sense of the word. She has such an amazing relationship with members, and the support and the care and the absolute compassion that she brings to her work is amazing. It's amazing. You could see her walking into the Positive Living Centre on any given day, and people basically get in line to greet her and talk
yes,
to her.
Yes, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We just saw her actually recently on Tuesday. We were at the Positive Living Centre having lunch, and she looked like a celebrity in town as everyone flocked to her.
Oh, it's good stuff, and it's good to see people like that are acknowledged in the way I think that they should be. It's fantastic.
I agree.
Now, Susie, there is also a call for volunteers at Coventry House, your new centre. What are the details about volunteering, and what exactly do you need assistance with?
Okay, well, the volunteer programme is a very exciting new programme for us. Because we were very limited in the space we were formerly at Claremont Street, we really didn't have the scope or the space or the capacity to actually train volunteers into a formal programme. Suddenly, inhabiting a larger space, we've identified a whole range of opportunities that volunteers can get involved in, not least having somebody at reception. And we've learned some wonderful skills from the reception and the night managers at Claremont Street, and want to bring them over and get volunteers to offer that similar service. So we're looking for volunteers to staff reception and greet guests and maintain, you know, the beautiful reception area. We're looking for people to help stuff safe sex packs. And certainly when we're looking at earlier next year during festival time with Midsummer and Chill Out and Big Day Out, we're looking for volunteers to get involved and be the, you know, the public face of the organisation. We've just completed a volunteer induction programme. We just started one, in fact, last week. But we're always looking for volunteers. So, you know, put your hand up, give us a few hours or a few days of your life and we'll make it worthwhile for you.
Oh, just being in that building makes it worthwhile. Never mind the staff. I mean, the staff are great.
Well, do you want to come volunteer for us,
well,
Jill?
Well, I'm thinking about it.
What can you do?
Anything, really. Well,
Susie, I just thought, just to ask you, just to clarify for the listener out there, do people need to be HIV positive to volunteer?
Gosh, not at all. We look for anyone who's got enthusiasm, energy and basic skills. You know, if you've got a passion and you've got some time to spend, we'd welcome you with open arms. So that's not limited at all to your HIV status.
Okay, we're going to continue to listen to some important messages and then we're going to continue our chat after those. Right now, you're on Joy 94.9 and this is Well, Well, Well with Jill and Tex.
Hi, this is François Sagat. Et vous écoutez Joy sur 94.9.
Indeed. And I think he said we're listening to Joy 94.9 in French. And if you've just joined us, Jill and I, here on Well, 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 on Joy 94.9, are chatting with Susie from People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria. Now, Susie, there's another afternoon of positive planning Positive Planet coming up. I knew I'd do that. Who, what, why, where, when? What are the details?
Well, actually, it's Planet Positive, not Positive Planet.
I always do that.
Yes, that's okay. Right. Yes, we have. We've got moving swiftly on. Yes, we have. We get very excited about Planet Positive. We've been holding them at DT's in Richmond for the past 9 months, and it's proving to be a great venue for the event. So Planet Positive basically is a social event for all people with HIV, their friends, their families, their buddies, to come along and just have an agenda-free social afternoon of catching up with old friends, making new friends, having a bit of a barbie and a couple of refreshments, and just walking away with a very big smile on your face after you've had a great afternoon.
Sounds pretty good.
It does, doesn't it?
I can't remember seeing you there, Jill. I think you might be coming along to the next one.
Maybe it's just a volunteer. It could be my introduction.
Well, it's actually taking place this Saturday, so that gives you enough time to get ready and get a new frock.
And later on we'll give you the contact details for People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria's new location, phone number, website, all that sort of stuff.
Now, Susie, it's a scary thought, but Christmas is just around the corner. With only 102, as Texas has made a note here, 102 days until Christmas Day. Sounds like ages, but it's just over 3 months. Now, we have chatted about your popular Christmas hampers in the past, but for the listener who is new to this topic, who exactly are the hampers for and how do you fill them? Do you want the question?
Very successful. Right. I was just going to say, we fill them amply. And hey, that's all right. Well, Christmas hampers is probably personally one of my pet projects for the organisation. It stemmed about sort of right at the very beginning, about 15 years ago, where we realised that not everybody was having a great time at Christmas for many reasons. People not being accepted for their HIV status, maybe being ostracised from family and friends. Some people were spending it alone at home or in hospital, and that's an awful thought when you think about how much we rely on Christmas to be such a joyous and celebratory time in our life. So we thought we could do something just to make that, you know, make that a little bit easier for some people who don't have that community around them. And what we do is we take hampers full of a whole range of goodies donated by fabulous, generous individuals out there. And on Christmas Day, volunteers and a couple of members of staff and board go around to hospitals and deliver the hampers.
It's a really great service. I've seen the hampers in the past. You used to be in our building, so we saw the excitement gathering and all of those different bits and pieces are put together. It must be a great thrill, both personally for the people who are delivering the hampers, but also for the people who are receiving the hampers. And I'm sure you must have some feedback from people.
Absolutely. I remember a letter we received from somebody who was at 7 West at the Alfred. It was one of the nurses. And he'd said that he had a person with HIV staying in the hospital, was very, very, I suppose, cynical and sort of grumpy about the whole thing, as you would be. And you know, was saying, well, why am I celebrating this? It's not a celebration. I don't have friends around me. I don't sit down to a big Christmas dinner with friends and have a laugh and, you know, tell great anecdotes. It's just another day. And as he'd finished talking to the nurse, one of our volunteers turned up with a hamper. And literally within seconds, the nurse said that they saw this guy just light up and go, well, my God, there are other people who are thinking about me. Mm. And they don't know me from Adam, but it's such a lovely thought and such a lovely gesture. So if you could do that for 5 minutes to change somebody's life, or, you know, not significantly, but just to make them feel better, that's a huge achievement for us, and certainly really gratifying and humbling as well.
And isn't it actually what Christmas is meant to be about as well? It's absolutely a bit of a reminder to all of us, isn't it?
Yes, and not about, you know, not just thinking about ourselves, but, you know, stepping outside of yourself and wondering what it's like for somebody else.
For sure.
We're going to hear another gorgeous piece of music from that Beatles, classical Beatles CD. right now, though, you'll be with Tex, Jill and our guest Susie here on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Tex, Jill and our very special guest tonight, Susie, from People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria, here on Joy 94.9 on the program Well, Well, Well.
Now, Susie, the hot news, the hot news with People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria is the appointment of your new executive officer, who has recently commenced with the organisation. Who is she and or her he, well, who
Him,
are they?
It, yes.
It, exactly. And where have they come from?
Well, very exciting for us. Yes, we do have a new executive officer. For those who don't know, Sunny Williams, who'd been with the organisation for just over 6 years, recently left these shores and our organisation to go work for our sister organisation, Positive Life New South Wales, in Sydney. It was really sad to see him go, but, you know, a new beginning and the organisation still continues. So we recruited a new executive officer, Jane Hughes, who's now in week two of her introduction to the organisation and the sector. She's originally from Africa and has done extensive work working with community groups over there in the HIV sector, and has come over to Australia to further that aspect of her career. She's an amazing woman. She's confident, she's sassy, she's capable, and we think she's going to be a great asset to the organisation.
Fantastic.
that's enough, Susie. We of course are hanging out for the chance to have Jane join us when she's settled in. Settled into the new organisation, you know, and is getting ready to talk. We'd like to have her on the show
In due time.
Maybe not week two.
No, probably
well,
not.
Well, as
week
you can
two.
Imagine, you know, I think we do take for granted the fact that sort of we've built up this community around us, and, you know, everyone seems to know everyone. Mm. But for somebody walking into that, you know, walking into a new city, a new country, you've got to start from scratch. So she's having a very rapid sort of skills building
crash course.
Crash course in everyone and who they are and how they all know each other. And she'll be ready to fly in a fortnight. So yes, I've already given her the information that she needs to come, and she said they're not going to try and trap me in any way, are they? I said no, they're just going to chat and be friendly as you always are.
I just say to people, if you're coming on the show, like our aim is not to put you on the spot, because it just makes for really crap radio. So
just come with no expectations.
Exactly.
Now, Susie, quite often a new person at the helm of an organisation can mean change, and change can be good. Change can sometimes be difficult for people. Do you think there will be a change of focus, for example, in the organisation, or do you see any major changes with Jane's appointment?
Yes, I think there will definitely be some changes. It's also a good time to take stock of where we've come after all these years. The organisation under Sunny's sort of command. If anyone met Sunny, you'll know that's actually not untrue a word. there's been a lot of change. You know, the organisation has gone through rapid growth from starting off with 3 members of staff, you know, when we first sort of came together over 20 years ago, to now having a staff of 9. We're in a new location. Our programming has expanded. You know, it's been a massive change and we've all got used to it. But I think Jane's initial few months certainly will be about consolidating those efforts and looking inward for a change rather than constantly feeling the need to expand and looking at fine-tuning all the programme that we've got. So reviewing, evaluating much of our programming, looking at processes and policies within the organisation just to sort of firm them up and, you know, cast a new eye over them. So yes, there will be change, but, you know, we'll still be the same organisation that you all know and love. and it's certainly going to be an exciting time for us, so we're looking forward to it very much.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there you've shared with us tonight some of the work that people living with HIV AIDS does, and of course there will be continuing programs that continue on. I mean, they may change direction over time, but, you know, change can be good.
Absolutely. And sorry, and addressing one of your earlier questions about, mm-hmm. you know, will our focus change? The focus doesn't change, it just expands. We're very fortunate to have Jane, who's had a lot of experience working with culturally and linguistically diverse communities. And because our service is for all people with HIV in Victoria, we want to expand our programming in those areas where, you know, formerly we've not necessarily had the expertise or the skill set to do so. So, yes, it is exciting times for us.
Now, Susie, before you leave us this evening, perhaps you can share with our listener the contact details. And perhaps the website for people living with HIV AIDS Victoria.
Yes, and I'm going to be killed if I get this wrong. Okay, it's... Well,
we've got the information.
Excellent,
here.
Just in case you can prompt me. Well, yes, people living with HIV AIDS Victoria, our new address is number 1, 111 Coventry Street, and that's in South Bank. So it's this side of Kingsway, not that you don't need to cross over to get into South Melbourne. Really easy to get to. The trams run right outside our door and it's a hop, skip and a jump from St Kilda Road. Our website is www.plwhavictoria.org.au and our telephone number is 9863 8733. That's 9863 8733, and certainly that would be the number to call if you're interested in coming to Planet Positive this weekend or if you'd like to find out more about our services.
Susie, it's been great to have you with us in the studio. One of the family.
Oh, I know.
One of the well family.
Absolutely.
I've got my bed here as well.
And Susie, we do look forward to the next time you visit.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, guys.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. Now, I can hear you giggling there.
Oh, Dex, I just, you know, you're just an interesting character, aren't you?
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and you are with Jill and Tex tonight. This is where we tell you that it might be a good idea if you have a pen and paper handy, or perhaps if you're ultra-modern, an iPad, because we've got a few websites and phone numbers to give you. Jill, when we started the show, I said, are you okay?
And I said to you, I'm fine. Are you okay?
And the reason we said that, listener, is that today, Thursday the 15th of September, is Are You Okay Day. And it's a national day of action which aims to prevent suicide by encouraging Australians to connect with someone they care about and help stop little problems perhaps turning into bigger ones. So all day today, people have been encouraged across Australia from all sorts of backgrounds and all walks of life to ask their family, their friends, perhaps their work colleagues, or even someone that they just bump into on the street and just say, are you okay?
Yeah, I think it's a great initiative, Tex, because it is recognising that a lot of the time people they do have a sense of isolation, and it can be that sense of isolation that sort of is on the precipice of somebody falling into depression. So, and one of the signs of somebody perhaps feeling a bit down is the fact that they do withdraw. So that level of human contact, and just somebody, it's not about, well, you know, I've got to drag somebody out and to dinner or something. You just have to have a chat and just make sure that you're thinking of them, and it's really, really simple. It doesn't cost
anything. It's funny. It really is simple. It, you know, it takes the time that you would do to have a coffee. You can start a conversation. Perhaps you can change your life. If you're out and about in your car, or perhaps you're getting around the place right now, or you're going out again later tonight, just a simple, are you okay?
Yep.
It might elicit a smile and a, yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? And that could be just the start of a conversation, or that could be as far as it goes, and that may be all it needs to do. So, are you okay?
Yeah, it's a good initiative, Tex.
Hmm.
Now, we've got other news.
Goodness, have we got news.
Oh, boy.
So little time to get through it.
I know. We're going to talk about Talk Asian.
Talk Asian.
Talk Asian, Tex.
What's that?
Talk Asian is a bi-monthly workshop for gay Asian men and other same-sex attracted men of Asian backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the group discusses issues surrounding race and sexuality, and also issues such as coming out in Australia, but not in their home countries. So, as in people announcing that they're gay, not coming out to Australia. If that makes sense.
I get that.
Racial stereotypes, sexual racism, ethnic pride and community attachment are also discussed.
Okay, so when is the next Talk Asian?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Tex. The next Talk Asian is on Thursday, the 22nd of September, which I think is next Thursday.
I think it might be.
From 7 till 9pm at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, which is located at 6 Claremont Street in South Yarra. In that session, there will be an exploration around the issue of homophobia and how it affects young gay men of an Asian background, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, you can contact GAP, which is G-A-P, at vicaids.asn.au, or you can phone Buddy on 9865 6700.
You may like to just go to the Victorian AIDS Council website and type in GAP, Gay Asian Proud, and that way you'll be able to get to find out more information about Talk Asian.
Yep, exactly. Now, another organisation that we do like to plug here on Well periodically.
Who's that?
Is Minus 18.
Ah, yes.
Now, they are a fantastic bunch of people under 18, basically, and they do an awful amount of work within Victoria and also actually all over Australia, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just Victorian centric. They are a team of 40 teenagers and they pretty much run Melbourne based underage dance parties, workshops and social events for other young people throughout Victoria. For more information about the goings on being run by this amazing group of folks, you can just go to www.minus18.org.au, and 18 is 18.
So the word minus18.org.au. We've had a message in, Jill. And because you were snickering over my Beatles music, I'd just like to acknowledge that Billy sent in a message saying, great show as always, as usual, and I'm loving the Beatles music. And we've had a message, I think, possibly from James of Windsor. He was he's loving the show and listening on a tram full of ferals. At least he's got joy in his pocket.
Bless him.
Thank you, James. It's lovely to hear from you.
Thanks, James.
Now, we were talking with Susie from People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, and I reckon we've got time to just give you some information about a really important workshop that's coming up. It's actually a six-week workshop, and it's for people who have hepatitis C and HIV, so hepatitis C and HIV co-infection, and it's a workshop called Take Control, commencing on Wednesday, the 5th of October, and running every Wednesday for 6 weeks. It starts at 6 o'clock at night and goes through to 8 p.m., so it's just 2 hours. So if you have hepatitis C and HIV co-infection, and perhaps you'd like to know more on how you can manage and treat your condition, Hepatitis C Victoria, together with the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre and People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, in collaboration, they're conducting a six-week program in the management of Hep C HIV co-infection. It's all about living well with both Hep C and HIV. And to register for the workshop, you're asked to contact Dimitri. So that's Dimitri on 9863 0444, 9863 0444.
Tex, our time here is done.
Oh, come on, Jill.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Goodness,
I'm sorry,
gracious,
to break it
me.
To you. But there's no need to turn off from joy.
Oh, no.
Coming
Goodness
up.
Gracious me. Yeah.
Coming up, Tex. What have we got?
We have got Theme Party with Katie, Nat and Daniel. And tonight, the theme, Jill.
Yep. Is anywhere.
They've had somewhere. They've had nowhere. This time it's anywhere.
Anywhere.
And that's going to be followed at 10 o'clock, of course, with Dean and the apprentice Andrew on Hide and Seek. And last week, I believe they did a fantastic show on
it
suicide.
Incredible.
On the reduction of suicide. All yep. about the Are You Okay Day. So that's 10 o'clock. So coming up next, Theme Party, then at 10 o'clock, we've got Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew the Apprentice. Jill, anyone you want to say hello to?
Oh, I want to say not just hello, but send a big hug and a kiss to your partner, Harry, for making me sausage rolls.
Oh, for your birthday, which was this week.
My favourite.
So happy belated birthday to you. I'm so pleased you inadvertently mentioned it. we'd like to say hello to James of Windsor and also to Billy, who messaged in with that lovely message about the Beatles music. We're going to go out tonight with Jimmy Barnes, and that'll be following these messages. A big hello to my partner Harry, to Warren in Cairns, Wayne in central New South Wales, and Deb and Vicky across the road from me in Reservoir. We'll be back next week.
We will.
You'll be back with Jason.
I will.
Jason's back from his mega holiday.
He will be.
See you everything, everyone, next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Whatever I'm saying.
Find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.